All righty, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I don't mean to be a day late and a dollar short here, because it is the day after Halloween, but it's something that I kind of brought up late yesterday, and I wish we'd spent more time on it yesterday, so I'm going to spend a little bit of time on it today. We all have our favorite kinds of entertainment, right? I happen to like documentaries. That's where I spend most of my entertainment time. Documentaries on a wide variety of stuff. Started watching a documentary over the weekend on the Vatican. Now, I must have been really bored or something, but I started watching a documentary. Point is, I like documentaries because I consider that show prep, because there's a lot that I don't know about a lot, and I like to know a little bit about a little bit. So, I like to know a little bit about a lot. But as far as entertainment choices are concerned, some of you are horror movie fanatics. And I typically am not one of those people. Have never seen Nightmare on Elm Street. Well, with the exception of the Zapruder film, which was another Elm Street. Haven't seen that. Haven't seen any of the... And any of what you might consider to be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre kinds of movies. Never seen them. I've just never had the desire to see it. And I do know why that is the case in some respects, but I'm not going to bore you with that. It's not that, let's just say real life can be kind of gory enough. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. But then, see, there are movies that are not horror movies per se, but they have scenes in them that are every bit as horrific as anything you're ever going to see in a horror movie. Everybody listening to this show, I'm going to guess, has seen Saving Private Ryan. Everybody, come on, everybody's seen Saving Private Ryan. And the invasion scene, that is some of the most horrible stuff you are ever going to see. And the problem is, that really happened. More or less, that kind of stuff and carnage actually happened to people. Absolutely dreadful. I mean, when the door opens on the landing craft and the shot goes to the back of the boat and you see pieces of humans coming back toward the camera, I mean, that's horror, but it's also real life. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. So far, I've liked my horror kind of on the mild side. Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp, Hocus Pocus, you know, about the witches, and maybe a few others, like the classic Dracula with Bela Lugosi. I found that to be highly entertaining. 803, Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein, very entertaining. And scary, kind of, but not by today's standards. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. How about The Shining? There's another one. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I've never seen The Shining. I know, I feel horrible, but I've never seen it. But don't feel bad, because there are movies you haven't seen either that you should see, like people who've never seen The Godfather. In fact, I'm going to add that as a topic. The movie that you feel really bad because you've never seen it and everybody else has. Like the two guys in the next room here, they've both seen The Shining, and I have not. And I should have seen it by now. Here is Eric in Cheektowaga. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yes, sir.
It's the John Carpenter remake of the original movie, The Thing, starring Kurt Russell. It's in color. And I've seen it on every top 10 scary movie list I've ever seen. It's in the top 10.
Okay, in your own words, and remember you are speaking to a moron, can you describe The Thing?
The Thing can become anything, and It looks like you could be The Thing. And It's pretty scary.
So you're saying it's a shape-shifting thing?
Yes. Yes, that's it. Shape-shifting. It can become anything.
Oh, wow.
That's why they call it the thing. Yes, it will shock you.
Okay, but just because something can shape-shift into anything that it possibly could shape-shift into, what makes it particularly scary?
Like I said, it could be you. You're my friend. You're the thing. And now you want to absorb me. Well, you have to watch it.
It sounds intriguing, but help me out here. No blood and guts?
Not especially. No, it's special effects.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. Yeah. But there'll be twists and turns. You won't see it coming.
Okay, well, you're obviously a lot more well-versed on horror movies than am I, by my own admission. It's a great gap in my cultural knowledge of the times in which we live. Is there another movie other than The Thing with Kurt Russell that you would say, Tom, you got to check it out. You're going to get hooked on the genre. Forget about this true crime stuff. You're going to get hooked on this.
Well, I did see The Exorcist when it came out, 40 years ago, and that's like number one on a lot of lists. That movie is scary, but you thought it was funny. I don't know.
I thought it was funny because I thought the special effects were so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even sure that I finished watching it. It's just like, okay, this is just bad. But, okay, here's this is where I'm totally inconsistent and I'm a total hypocrite. And by the way, I did try to buy The Exorcist on Amazon over the weekend because I felt maybe I didn't give it a fair shake. But there is a movie on Netflix that I've talked about, I think, every day for the past 2 weeks with Russell Crowe, and it's called The Pope's Exorcist. And it's based on a real guy, even though the story in the movie is pure hokum, or BS, as we might say.
Yeah. Exorcism is it hits a lot of people. It's something scary.
Yes, it does. But here's the problem. And I mentioned this yesterday when talking about the Pope's Exorcist. Let me just get this straight. You're the king of hell. You have the ability to possess a little boy, and the little boy is tied up to a bed frame, and he can clearly break the sheets that have him tied up, which he eventually does. Why doesn't he do it right at the beginning? I mean, like, if you've got this much power, what are you waiting for? That's just one of the things kind of bothered me.
There'd be no movie if they did that. Don't open that door. Don't go in the basement. Don't look out. Don't go in there. And they go in there.
Oh, that's so funny because there is at least one scene I can think of from that particular movie, The Pope's Exorcist, where the possessed boy's sister runs into the basement to turn the ancient electrical system back on after Satan sucks it dry. In fact, the next time I get one of those letters from National Grid saying, you use 3,000 times more electricity than your neighbors, I'm going to say, well, the house is satanically possessed. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else from you? I mean, you've only seen The Exorcist once.
Oh, I've seen it again. The Omen is scary. Exorcist 2 was, they were kind of rehashing the same thing, but The Omen was scary. That's also on the top 10.
The Omen. Top 10 scary movies of all time.
Yeah. Yes. It's on the list. Yes.
Well, it depends on whose list we are referring to.
Yeah.
Top 10 scary movies of all time. Let's see. The Exorcist is right up there. The Lost Boys. Haunting Venice. Angel Heart. Am I looking at the right ones? Nefarious. Right up there. Have you seen that Kurt Russell movie that the other caller brought up?
I don't think I heard the caller.
It was called The Thing.
That's me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. See, you've got me looking at so many. Sorry, I'm an idiot. You got me looking at so many different things. I forget to whom I'm speaking, or it's just senility. But anyway, very interesting call, sir. Thank you very much. The thing does sound interesting. It does sound interesting. And by the way, if you do a deep dive for Kurt Russell, you're going to see that Kurt Russell was a boy actor prodigy. Here is Jim in. And he actually did an ad for, I forget what it was called, but if you look up Kurt Russell toy ad, you'll track it down. Anyway, let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. You're on WBEN. Jim, I hate to be a day late and a dollar short on this, but...
Yeah, if you like, you were talking about Saving Private Ryan. In fact, I thought about you when I was watching Rogue Heroes, but you're going to need a night where you can sit back, and each episode of it is like an hour long, so you're going to need like 5 hours, and they'll show it back to back. You'll get enough time to go and empty your bladder before the next episode starts. That's the way they do it. And it's the true story of Major David Sterling, who is the father of SAS, and how the SAS in North Africa in World War II destroyed more German airplanes on the ground that were shot down out of the air.
But it sounds like a war movie, not a horror movie.
I mean, and you mentioned Private Ryan, so I just wanted to tell you
about the beginning. I mean, my point being, the beginning of Saving Private Ryan is as horrific a scene of human carnage as you are ever going to see. And
that was the most realistic portrayal, in my opinion, of D-Day. Yes, we agree on that. But on horror movies, that first exorcism movie was interesting about that. Until that movie came along, exorcism was kept in the closet. It was a closet thing.
Well, it had a lot of priests to keep it company. Hold on just a second, if you would, Jim in North Tonawanda. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So I must confess gross ignorance and unpreparedness on this topic, talking about horror movies. And I know yesterday was Halloween. I get it. But it's still that spooky time of the year. Your neighbors are going to have their decorations up until they put the Christmas stuff up. So we go from Satan worship to Jesus worship, just like that, in the twinkling of an eye. 803-0930. I'm sorry, Santa Claus and Rudolph worship. Because you never see an inflatable Jesus on the lawn, but you do see plenty of inflatable elves and stuff. Remember, the elves came to Earth to expiate your sins. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Back to Jim in North Tonawanda. Jim, scary movies. You strike me as the kind of guy who's probably seen every horror movie there is.
Oh, yeah, I get into all that stuff. Partly because of my Catholic background,
but you were talking about exorcism.
If I remember right, this was based on a true story. Was the exorcism of Emily Rose? I don't know if you saw that.
No, I tell you, any movie that you guys mentioned that is in the horror genre, I'm going to say nope, I haven't seen it.
The priest that performed that exorcism was put on trial. I saw the movie once, and if I remember right, she died during the exorcism, and criminal charges was brought against the priest. But he did pretrial confinement. The jury said, if I remember right, guilty, but he didn't. What do they call it? I'm not a lawyer. He didn't have to do any more time. Whatever the lawyers call that, pretrial confinement, and the jury said, and the judge said, well, he did pretrial confinement, and that's the end of the case. Because he was a priest, and he was acting in his official duties as a priest. It was really interesting. This movie was supposedly based on a true story. Now, keep in mind, Hollywood is going to dramatize certain points.
Absolutely. What's called The Exorcism of who?
Emily Rose. The Exorcism of Emily Rose. It's a scary movie. It really, but it was supposedly based on a true story, the court case and everything, and the priest, the district attorney said the whole thing was phooey. He didn't believe in exorcism, and it really gets into the legal and then the religious part. And oh, and by the way, Tom, when Jesus performed an exorcism, he spoke to the demon and said, "Who are you?" And the demon replied, "Legion, and we are many." Now that's in the Bible, so.
Yeah, well, actually, that same motif came up in the Pope's Exorcist.
Yeah.
Russell, you've seen the movie, obviously,
that.
On Netflix.
I saw that movie.
Yeah, and Russell Crowe's character, Father Gabriel Amort, says to his priest buddy, "Hey, once we find out the name, we can take care of him." And it turned out to be Asmodeus, the King of Hell.
Yeah, a priest at my church was telling me you have to find out the demon's name, because I discussed the stuff with the priest after Mass and all this stuff.
Really?
I hang around after Mass to bug the priest about exorcism.
To me, it's fascinating. There was this guy from Canada many, many years ago that we had on the show late at night who was a self-proclaimed exorcist. And we actually played tapes on the air that this guy had made during exorcisms. And I want to tell you something. There are some sounds on those tapes that I don't even think a cat in heat would be making.
Yeah, and one final point. There's other people on hold, but I was listening to George Norrie, and he's done several shows, a bunch of shows, on exorcism, and he had a Catholic Monsignor that was one of the most experienced exorcists in the Catholic Church, and the phone line went dead. And both, when they finally got the priest, you know, hooked up back on the phone, the priest said, the Monsignor said, "George, this has happened before. When we discuss exorcism, the phone lines go dead." So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I don't know. I've had the same thing happen when I've talked to Aaron Kenefick's mom on the phone, and we start getting into some very sensitive areas about CIA and NSA. Suddenly, the phone just goes dead, and I can't reestablish contact for about 3 minutes. It's amazing how I know that was just a coincidence. Five times it's happened, but... if you don't know the story of Aaron Kenefick, you can look it up. It's really an American tragedy. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Jim. You can hear all about how the United States government murdered its own two-time Marine of the Year because he found out about the skim over there, and they whacked him just like the mob. Never go wrong with this one. 25 or 64, Chicago. Or was this when they were Chicago Transit Authority and then the CTA sued them over infringement? I don't know, I forget. Anyway, welcome. It is 437 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly with you. And I know I might be a day late and a dollar short with this, but I did kind of tease it yesterday, and I did a little bit about it yesterday. And I'm actually going to do... two topics here until 5 o'clock. And number one is horror movies. That's H-O-R-R-O-R. Don't want there to be any confusion. Hey, Tom, I'd like to talk about Clute. No. You can look that up. K-L-U-T-E. But anyway, where was I? Yes. Best horror movie ever. And I got to be really honest with you. I am just not historically a horror movie kind of guy. I actually laughed the first time I saw The Exorcist, if that means anything to you. I don't know why. I think it was the special effects that made me laugh. And some of the dialogue made me laugh. And I'm not even sure that I made it all the way through The Exorcist, so I'm probably not a real good judge of it. That's why I wanted to watch it again. But for some reason, they wouldn't let me buy it on Amazon. Probably Satan was having something to do with that. But and the other thing that I have to ask you is, we've talked about this a little bit before, but I don't think I've ever taken calls on it. There are certain movies which you have to have. You have to have watched. And one of those movies is, for example, The Godfather and The Godfather 2. I believe it is the civic duty of every American to watch The Godfather and The Godfather 2. That is your civic duty. You have a responsibility to American culture to continue the legacy. And I've seen The Godfather and The Godfather 2 so many times, you could probably give me lines and I'd probably recite the next line to you. I think The Godfather and The Godfather 2 are two of the greatest movies ever made, especially of that genre, if you will. But I've never gotten into horror movies. But if you want to recommend horror movies that you think are worthy of our time, and when I say our, I mean your fellow listeners and myself, because we do have a relationship. I know it sounds really goofy for a dude on the radio you'd never met to say that, but we do have a relationship after 40-odd years, the host-listener relationship. And I do value what you guys have to say as far as your recommendations, like The Thing with Kurt Russell. I like Kurt Russell. I like Kurt Russell. I also like Kevin Costner as an actor. I don't know what they're like in real life. I mean, Russell Crowe, I love him as an actor, but supposedly he's a total Richard in real life. And in addition to the best horror movie out there, is there a movie you are embarrassed to admit you have never seen? And with the young men in the next room, Evan DePasquale and Tanner Saunders, I must admit a certain degree of, well, anger at myself, because I have never seen The Shining. Never seen it. Is there a movie that you believe you need to see but you've never seen? I'll let you in on another little secret here, all right? It's open tail time. Well, not in that sense either. I gotta watch what I say to you guys, because many of you have very sick minds. Taxi Driver. I kept on hearing how great the Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro was. And I gave it a shot, and I just couldn't get into it. I tried my best 2 times. I couldn't get into it. The Shining, Jack Nicholson. I know it's a classic. I haven't even started to watch The Shining. But I think that most of us have movies that, for whatever reason, everybody else has seen, except you haven't or I haven't. And one last little dirty secret I will tell you. Oh, I could tell a lot of dirty little secrets. No lies, but a lot of dirty little secrets, if I was so inclined. There's another one that has gone with the wind. There, I said it. You would think that a guy who is fascinated by the Civil War period in America would have watched Gone with the Wind on many occasions. No, I've not seen it. And do you think I don't feel bad about that? I haven't seen it. And to make it even worse, I've only watched The Wizard of Oz once. Only once. And it was in 1989. I was in Detroit in a hotel room. It's the only thing I remember doing was watching The Wizard of Oz. Yes, I was alone in a hotel room in Detroit. That's all I can tell you. Not doing anything nefarious, actually. I was working at a radio station in Detroit for a few weeks as a fill-in host. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let us go to Joe in Hamburg. Joe, welcome. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Speaking of nefarious, that is an excellent movie. I don't know if you've seen it. It came out about the same time as, I think, what were you saying, The Pope's Exorcist?
The Pope's Exorcist came out this year, 2023.
From what I remember, Nefarious was scheduled to come out, and they picked their date, and then The Pope's Exorcist changed their release date so that it would compete with Nefarious. And Nefarious is actually a psychological thriller. It's not so much like a horror genre. So I mean, like, pretty much women that would not want to see a horror movie might be interested in Nefarious. But it has the plot without giving a whole lot away. And it's very, very well acted. There's only a few actors. A lot of it takes place in a penitentiary. And the main character is on death row, and he's going to be executed unless this psychologist can prove that he is either insane or not, and he has to decide whether he is guilty by virtue of knowing what he had done, or whether he, as he claims, he's possessed. So it's an excellent movie.
Oh, and that's sound, you know, might wanna... it, you know, in a way, it sounds kind of like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, because now, see, when you start throwing in, you've hit on my weak spot, Joe. When you start throwing in legal issues into a horror movie, now I'm enticed, because now I want to see how Hollywood played out the legal aspect of the possession or insanity defense.
I think you really like this one, especially I think you said that you kind of like to be a detective, or you'd like to be a detective in another life or something.
No, actually,
so you'd probably enjoy this.
Well, actually, I am a very good investigator. I trained myself, and I'm a very good investigator. If I had it to do all over again, I'd still end up doing this for a living. It's crazy as that might sound.
Well, mark that movie down, because something that's also very interesting about this, when it was being filmed, there were lots of times where they would try to, you know, call action, and there would be all these different kinds of weird interfering with the audio, and then they would cut, and it would stop. And they'd try to start again, and it would happen. And there was some kind of just a rain or windstorm that took place in where they were filming this. And that building where this was being filmed was the only one where, like, the roof was actually blown off and they had water damage. And not only that, but this was, I don't entice you to see this, but a lot of the staff that were involved in production, I think it was like seven of them, they each had, in real life, terrible car accidents where their cars were totaled, but they were left totally unscathed. So crazy stuff like that, which, you know.
So Satan possessed a Volkswagen Beetle, but not the person driving it. That's weird. This nefarious sounds interesting, but see, here's the thing that I wonder, like, when you're talking about, oh, every time they'd call action, something would happen with the equipment, it would malfunction, etc. I wonder how much of that is true and how much of that is the bunk, the Hollywood bunk, to try to boost movie attendance and ticket sales.
Well, you watch YouTube, probably. You could look under the producers of the nefarious movie. And they discuss a lot of this in different YouTube videos online. In fact, one of them, I believe, ended up having a very sudden onset of appendicitis that nearly killed him if he hadn't got to the hospital in time. All these things put together make it, like, really kind of something where you'd... Plus, see, that whole thing where you want to determine for yourself, you know, with your legal mind, how they handle this. I think you would really enjoy this because it's very true to life.
I'm not a lawyer, but I actually do enjoy reading the legal stuff. It's kind of bizarre. I have some pretty weird hobbies. It sounds super interesting. But here's where I got to ask you. Nefarious, if all of these bad things happen to people who had anything to do with the production of the movie Nefarious, let me ask you something. Why would I open my house to the possibility that demons might come through the TV screen because I'm watching the movie?
Somehow I don't think it would work exactly like that unless you deliberately try to invite them in. I don't think that's the way that they work, and it's probably the way that the story is told accurately, too. So,
let me ask you a question from totally out of left field. Do you believe that people can actually be possessed by demons? Or do you think it's more likely insanity?
No, they absolutely can if they invite them in. I don't think that a demon on his own would be able to do that. But if you open yourself up by doing certain things that would give yourself, pretty much say to them, like, you know, all right, here I am, you know, give them permission. That's the way that they would tend to work, I believe.
I don't know what the various churches' doctrines are regarding demonic possession and what constitutes the pathway to demonic possession. But in the movies, anyway, they always pick the innocent people who want nothing to do with demons. And there's an episode of Unsolved Mysteries where this poor little boy who probably now is 30 years old because that show was aired a long time ago, supposedly had a bunch of near-death experiences as a baby, and the speculation was because he was so close to death so many times that he was basically on the borderline between life and death, and that is why he was able to supposedly see ghosts and shadow people and things like that. Now, they had a paranormal investigator who backed it up. They did an exorcism or five on this kid. And it's a really, it's an interesting episode. I don't know what to make about it. I don't know what to make of demonic possession. I told you I did have an exorcist on the show from Ontario several occasions back in the 1980s. And some of those tapes, I want to tell you something. As long as they weren't tampered with, they were pretty freaky.
Are you saying that's something that he brought that you listened to, or
yes,
what was that?
Yes, yes, yes. Something he brought that we played on the air, and you know, provided that there were no special effects added, it was enough to raise the hair on your arms. I'll say that much.
I've actually seen something on in line somewhere. It was called like the Spirit World. It's a show where there's a couple of hosts that actually discuss these things, and one of them actually he's on YouTube also. And his name is Adam, first name. But a lot of them, they it seems to be pretty consistent, and it's very interesting in the way that these things operate. But
interesting, sir. I need to go because I got to take a break because I'm a prisoner of the clock. My life is not my own. Thank you. This phone call was possessed by a demon midway. So talking about horror movies, something about which I know pretty much next to nothing. Your suggestion for horror movies, and I'll take it one step further, this part of the show, and that is there a movie which you almost feel un-American because you haven't watched? For me, The Shining, Gone with the Wind, have never seen them. And that surprises me because I've watched Gettysburg about 8,000 times. Here's Norm in Toronto on WBEN. Go.
Hi, Tom. First of all, thank you very much for the entertaining drive. I listen to you every day when I'm stuck on 401 traffic.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
My favorite horror movie is Swamp Thing, not for the fishy guy, but for Adrian Barbeau, who is fantastic in that movie. And I'd also like to thank you for your suggestion to try Beef on Weck and Buffalo Chicken Wings. I had both on my last business trip to your area.
Thank you so much. Well, I presume these were recommendations that listeners called in.
Yes, and you were kind enough to acknowledge their wisdom in selecting those particular delicacies for meals.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's no such thing as a bad food, just a bad diet, and I'm kind of limited as to the amount. I mean, I do enjoy red meat, but I don't eat a lot of it, so when I eat it, it had better be good. And as far as wings, I'm way down in my wing consumption. I'm not doing my part as a Buffalonian. I thank you very much, Norm, and glad we can entertain you on the 401. Have fun creeping along.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, my friend. 456, loves, at News Radio 930 WBEN. I must break, for I'm a prisoner of the clock. Coming up in the next hour of the show, geez, I've got so many things I want to get into. And I guess we'll get away from the movie thing and we'll get into something that is a real life horror that I think we need to talk about on news about which I believe we need to talk on News Radio 930 WBEN. That was some real life grammatical horror, but I worked my way out of it. Thank you.